Principle 9.11. Don't lower the bar. You reach a point in all relationships when you must decide whether you are meant for each other. That's common in private life and at any organization that holds very high standards. At Bridgewater, we know that we cannot compromise on the fundamentals of our culture. So if a person cannot operate within our requirements of excellence through radical truth and transparency in an acceptable time frame, he or she must leave. Tough love is both the hardest and the most important type of love to give. To build and evolve your machine. Most people get caught up in the blizzard of things coming at them. In contrast, successful people get above the blizzard so they can see the causes and effects at play. This higher level perspective allows them to see themselves and others objectively as a machine, to understand who can and cannot do what well, and how everyone can fit together in a way that will produce the best outcomes. Now that you've learned the best ways to approach your machine's two key components, its culture and its people, I'd like to turn to principles for managing and improving your machine. In the next chapter, I will go over my high-level principles for applying higher-level thinking to conceptualize your organization as a machine. This isn't just a thought experiment. Thinking in a machine-like way also has important practical ramifications for how you manage your team and how you design roles, responsibilities, and workflows. In Chapter 10, Manage as Someone Operating a Machine to Achieve a Goal, I apply this approach to organizational design at its highest level. Once you understand how to build and run your machine, your next objective is to figure out how to improve it. We do this through the five-step process I described as 1. Identifying our goals, 2. Encountering our problems, 3. Diagnosing those problems to get at their root causes, 4. Designing changes to get around the problems, and 5. Doing what is needed. Think of any organization you know, and you will see that they go through this evolutionary process with varying degrees of success. The world is littered with once great organizations that deteriorated because the initial waves of excellence faded and the leadership failed to adequately adapt by changing the people and the designs. There are also a few organizations that keep reinventing themselves to go on to new heights of greatness. The subsequent chapters of this section explain how the five-step process works within an organization and what you need to do to make sure you get the most out of it. To be effective, you must look down upon your machines as would an organizational engineer, comparing the outputs with the goals and constantly modifying the people and the designs to make the outputs better. Most importantly, you must orchestrate your people. How well you do this will determine your success. Finally, you've heard two chapters on making sure the idea meritocracy runs as designed, both at the day-to-day and the strategic level. Chapter 15, Use Tools and Protocols to Shape How Work is Done, describes the importance of systemization and tools to ensure the idea meritocracy functions as intended. And in Chapter 16, and for heaven's sake, don't overlook governance, I explain that while at first I underestimated the importance of governance to ensuring that an organization operates effectively over time, as I've transitioned myself out of running Bridgewater day-to-day, I've learned a number of important principles for how governance should function in an idea meritocracy.